Hello and welcome to episode 695 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. I am one of the co-founders here at ETR, as always joined by fellow co-founder Evan Silva. The 2023 NFL season is officially over. Incredibly compelling Super Bowl. Won, of course, by the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime. Shout out to them. Evan, how's it going today?
It's going great. I had an awesome Super Bowl. I hope that you and the audience also had a great Super Bowl. It was a game that was really boring in the first half. Let's be real. And arguably through three quarters, but it wound up being a super exciting finish and an enjoyable watch all told.
Yes, indeed. We'll get into the game here in a second. We were actually going to take this week off from the podcast. We wanted to jump on for one final team by team of sorts, talk about the Super Bowl before we start looking ahead to the 2024 fantasy football season, which we'll start on next week. Before we get into it here today, two quick reminders. First, I know the NFL and lack of NFL leaves a gaping hole in many of our lives. If you're interested in other sports, both NBA and PGA are in full swing. We cover them just as intensely as we cover the NFL. So check that out on the subscribe tab of the site. Oh, also, by the way, stay tuned for announcement on March Madness. We will have a product this year around March Madness. Stay tuned for that. Second, plenty of action on Underdog right now. Our first run of rankings for 2024 best ball are already up. If you're a real, real sick pup, there is action in the big board on Underdog right now for 2024 best ball. Also, majors only best ball for golf. We have rankings for that up if you're a golf sub. And of course, the daily NBA snake drafts. NBA subs can use our projections there for that. If you've never tried Underdog, promo code ETR for a matching deposit bonus up to $100, that's promo code ETR at underdogfantasy.com. All right, Evan, let's start with the 49ers. You know, it seemed to me like the 49ers were not necessarily ready for the defensive game plan the Chiefs had. And the defensive game plan the Chiefs had were stack the box relentlessly in an effort to take CMC out of the game, it seemed to me, force Brock Purdy to beat them. I mean, Chiefs ran cover zero 21% of the time in this game. Cover one 40% of the time. Those are massive outliers versus what they did this season. They were also in man coverage 64% of the time. Season average was closer to 30% for Chiefs defense. And so they said, hey, Brock Purdy, we dare you to beat us. And he couldn't really do it. He wasn't terrible, but he certainly was not good, you know, really in any of the playoff games, and was obviously terrible in that Ravens game in week 16. So if you're a 49ers fan, I think there's some concern with Brock Purdy right now going forward. Evan, as a whole, what did you think of Brock Purdy and 49ers performance in the Super Bowl?
I think there's some concern with Brock Purdy. I mean, he's still, you know, a player that was a seventh round pick. He had an awesome season though. And he had some ups and downs. He was, including the playoffs and the three game stretch where they, I think they lost three in a row at one point during the regular season, he was a little bit of a boomer bust performer, really. And that's not really what you want from like a strict system game manager, like he's kind of supposed to be within the confines of Kyle Shanahan's offense. But I mean, he still gives you so much flexibility throughout the rest of your roster. He's played, I mean, he's at very worst been an above average NFL starter for a year and a half plus now. He's, you know, gained experience in big moments. He's still got a lengthy history of college tape. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on Brock Purdy now that suggests that he's a guy that you can move forward with. You're not paying him anything, and he gives you so much flexibility throughout the rest of your roster. Now, when it comes to the point of when you're going to have to pay him, and you're going to have to pay him big time to keep him, you know, that becomes a question mark. But we're not to that point yet. And I also, look, I don't want to take anything away from the Chiefs defense. This is one of the reasons that I like the under in the game, which still hit even though both teams combined for 9 points in overtime.
Yeah.
Still got the under on that. The Chiefs defense is freaking loaded. They have one of the best defensive coordinators in NFL history. I think you look at his track record going back to the Giants, and they are loaded with talent. I mean, they've hit on so many draft picks. They're going to be good going forward as well because they have so many young players on defense.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from Brock Purdy's season. He had an awesome season. But, man, starting with that Ravens game and coming all the way through to this game, it's just been a struggle. And, listen, in his defense, they wanted to build the game plan around Debo. I mean, you could see it. He had 11 targets, even though he hurt his hamstring very early in the game. Evan, I know you were on that. We'll talk about that more in props. But yeah, Debo seemed to like pull his hamstring or something very early. He came back in the game, but was not great. And this has kind of been a recurring theme for Debo. He hasn't missed that many games. He played in 15 this year, 13 last year, 16 in 2021, 7 in 2020. But it just strikes me that Debo is rarely 100%. And partly because the way he plays, he's like asking for contact, looking for contacts. But I did think that mattered in this game. Like, they did not have 100% Debo Samuel there. I know you had a bunch of Debo stuff and props. Evan, any more thoughts on the 49ers pass game, how it played out with Debo banged up?
I think that for as difficult a challenge as this was, and we talked about it, like the Chiefs had shut down Lamar Jackson, had shut down Josh Allen with the exception of his running, had shut down Tua all back to back. Like, I just give the credit to the Chiefs defense. I think the 49ers performed about as well as they could have from a passing game standpoint, considering the fact that Debo was clearly not 100% for the duration of the game. They got nothing from George Kittle, who came in with that toe injury. I don't know if that was the reason, but he didn't really give him anything. Ayuk went under his prop. I think that they still did about as well as they could. Actually, Purdy went over his passing yards prop, of course, with the assistance of overtime.
Yeah. I don't know if you followed this Brandon Ayuk stuff, like his girlfriend and his boy, like his best friend, were both posting that this is why we're leaving San Francisco. He, you know, they're not using him in the Super Bowl. This is why we're not going to be a 49er next year. And then I looked at the contract. I was like, Brandon Ayuk's under contract, a fifth-year option.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it just struck me as weird. But anyways, there'll be a lot of offseason happenings to get to. Let's get to the Chiefs. So like Evan mentioned, boring first half. Chiefs scored 3 points. 3 points in the first half of this game. And yeah, Pacheco fumbled in the red zone early, but they started the game punt, punt, fumble, punt, field goal. That was their first half. And honestly, that was like a lot of games that the Chiefs had this year where they were frustrated on offense. They didn't score that much. They had Travis Kelce screaming at Andy Reid, screaming his face off at Andy Reid. I felt like it changed. And, you know, I'm no defensive bro. And maybe this is causation more or correlation more than causation. But when Dre Greenlaw goes down late in the second quarter, running onto the field and popped his Achilles, it seemed like that changed the entire game. Everything changes. Mahomes is going nuts, throwing and running. Kelce gets going. And then Chiefs end up winning. So, I don't want to say if Dre Greenlaw stays healthy, they keep holding down the Chiefs for the entire second half also. But it clearly, at least to me, made a big difference. Evan, what do you think overall of Chiefs' performance here?
Travis Kelce had one catch for 1 yard at halftime. And I totally agree with you. It seemed like that particular play changed the complexion of the game. Travis Kelce had 8 catches for 92 yards in the second half alone. And the floodgates opened for Patrick Mahomes as a rusher, which, by the way, cap tip, I know we'll talk about it when we get to the props, but that was the call of the prop show for sure by you. Rashee Rice made some plays in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
It was just like the middle of the field opened up after Dre Greenlaw went out.
Yeah. Pacheco in the pass game, you know, just as I'm thinking about 2024 rankings and stuff, Pacheco pass game has just been way better than I even thought it could be. And I know McKinnon missed most of the season or a lot of the season. He was back here, but Pacheco caught 44 of 49 targets in the regular season, caught 12 of 12 targets in the postseason. I mean, 3.1 catches per game is nothing to sneeze at from a fantasy perspective and real life perspective from Isaiah Pacheco. So that's good. I would love to see the Chiefs draft a wide receiver. They pick 32nd once again, of course, but I do think they hit on Rashee Rice. I know Rashee Rice only had 39 yards on 6 catches in this game. There were a couple plays I thought Rashee Rice was open. I think they pointed it out on the broadcast, but Mahomes was just locked on to Kelce. But man, Rashee Rice could have had a much, much bigger game. Evan, anything else for you on Chiefs before we move on to props?
Yeah, I think that they'll be heavily connected to perimeter receivers as we move into the mock draft season. Rashee Rice is going to be, I think, a big, run after catch slot receiver. You know, like, obviously he's not going to be probably Larry Fitzgerald, but I mean, that kind of a role for Rashee Rice. And then Travis Kelce, I mean, there's been a lot of chatter that he might retire. I mean, if he's going to marry Taylor Swift, I have no reason to. I mean, he has every reason to retire. And he's getting old. And we saw he had a pretty up and down season. And then, you know, the rest of the guys, like, we know that at this point that the rest of the wideouts are not very good. So I think they'll be heavily connected to perimeter wideouts. And this wideout class in the draft, as I'm starting to learn about it, looks really good.
Definitely. Yeah, the Kelce retirement stuff is interesting. You know, I think they're going to say, hey, let's stick around for one more year. Travis, go for a three-peat. And I think that they think that matters. And I think eventually they'll convince him to come back. But yeah, we'll see. Okay. Want to go over props like we talked about on the show last week. I did okay overall. I had a 9.9% ROI on the stuff that I took. The stuff that I took on the show was Kelce no touchdown in the game, minus 105, which was a winner. You know, it was basically the only Kelce under that didn't get there. You know, that actually got there. I'm sorry. So that was fortunate to be on the Kelce no TD, minus 105. Christian McCaffrey had the longest reception in the game. I took it 23-1. That was a loser. Longest reception in the game, of course, went to Mecole Hardman, which, you know, we had a really long price on him because he played more. He ran 14 routes. He played more than I thought that he would play. Did Mecole Hardman, of course, caught the game-winning touchdown as well. Will either quarterback have 350-plus passing yards at plus 475? That was a loser, but I did have the Mahomes 300-plus at plus 250, which was good. Patrick Mahomes have more completions than Brock Purdy. That was minus 200. That was a winner easily. And the frustrating one is I took the Brandon Ayuk first quarter receiving yards under, which lost, but all his other unders hit, all his full game unders hit. So that was frustrating. And then, yeah, the really good long shot, best long shot I had was the Mahomes to have the longest rush in the game at 11-1. That was just a misprice by the books. And Mahomes, you can see, I mean,
he had a monster rushing game.
Monster rushing
game. Yeah, and that was the one where you talked about it, and then, like, I bet it live on the show. Yeah. And that was a nice supplement to the old bankroll.
All right, for Evan had Debo overs on receiving yards and scrimmage yards. That was a loser, of course.
He had 11 targets, yeah. But he was hurt.
He was hurt. I mean, yeah, I thought he wasn't going to come back. I mean, those non-contact injuries, you know, and obviously Juwan Jennings ended up having a better than expected game too. Juwan Jennings was part of the optimal along with Hardman, obviously, in the showdown stuff. Evan had Brock Purdy unders across the board, split those, the game under, barely lost in overtime, and then under 1.5 touchdown passes. That hit for a split. Evan had Chiefs over 103.5 rushing yards as a team. That was a winner. Pacheco first quarter over was a loser. Oh. Mahomes rush over 26.5 yards was an easy winner. So hit 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Of those,
yeah, the Pacheco over. Thing was that, and that was one of my favorite bets. And he got buried for a loss of 3 on his first carry.
I mean, and San Francisco received.
Yeah, right. And San Francisco received. That matters a lot for that. He only had 2 carries in the first quarter.
Yeah,
and his other one went for 10, I believe. So, but yeah, sorry for that one.
The MVS under. I took MVS under 1.5 catches. Evan had MVS under 15.5 yards. Those were losers as MVS played reasonably. And then, of course, the Justin Watson stuff, those mega long shots on Justin Watson stuff were losers. First touchdown went to the chalk. Christian McCaffrey, last touchdown was a mega long shot. Mecole Hardman. So, yeah, could have been a better props Super Bowl. Could have been a worse one. But, man, it was fun. Their menu was absolutely massive. Like, I didn't even know this stuff existed. Someone showed me a ticket they had on Mecole Hardman to have the longest air yards reception of the game at 80-1. I was like, where do you even find that stuff? But yeah, it's
cool. I was at a Super Bowl party with a dude who had just any non-quarterback to throw a touchdown pass at like some outrageous number. Wow. And the dude just obviously lost it and like couldn't even describe what the bet was. Like I didn't even fully register what he was talking about until like the third quarter, but it was, I think Juwan Jennings threw it to McCaffrey, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yep. So
Juwan Jennings to McCaffrey. All right. That is it now officially. Oh, and by the way, just like the my reaction to like the Super Bowl prop stuff with the menus being so insane, I think they're going to keep getting bigger for island games, especially next year. You know, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, not Super Bowl level menus, but tons of these alt markets and derivatives and weird markets. So I'm excited about that. Hopefully the books see how much fun people have with it for the whole Super Bowl. All right, that is it now officially. Finally, I know I said it before, but finally, the final team by team of the season. We'll be back in the coming weeks to review our hits and misses. from the 2023 season. We're talking about the stuff that Sam Sherman's been writing about with the cut candidates and the pup candidates. You can find those articles on the site, coaching changes. And before you know it, Evan, Combine will be here in Indy once again. For Evan, for producer Luke, for producer Ryan, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.